Yo, yo, Crook's Corner, Crook's Corner. Welcome to my corner where we talk rap. Y'all know what it is. Hope everybody living their best life. I'm back in Cali. You know what I mean? So if you hear the birds chirping and the wind blowing, you know what I'm saying? It's because I'm in my backyard right now. I vacation at the crib. I travel so much, I take my vacations at home. You heard me? But yo, let's get right to it. A couple days ago, I went to Coachella. You know what I'm saying? Eminem was headlining for the first time, so I wanted to go support the homie. Say what up to everybody, you know. But yo, real quick, sidebar. If you ever go to Coachella, bring a face mask or a bandana to cover your face because that dust flies everywhere. Major key. I forgot mine. Paid dearly for it. But anyway, I chopped it up with Alchemist, you know what I mean? Chopped it up with Paul Rosenberg, you know, catching up with everybody. And then I went into M's trailer. Mr. Porter was inside, 50 Cent was inside. So after some small talk, we got into a real dope rap conversation. We flicked it up. Then I went to the stage to see M tear it down, regular, normal shit. Next day, I posted a picture of me, M, and Fifth that caused a little stir on my Instagram. One reason being the fact that 50 posted the same picture but cropped me out. Shit. Some people were bothered by that, but I wasn't. I'm never bothered by that. You know what I mean? What a grown man does on his own Instagram is of no concern to me. He don't know me like that. I don't know Cuzzo like that. Feel me? I'm unbothered. The other thing that got people talking was my caption. The caption read, and I quote, "I respect what these guys built, 50 and M, through loyalty to one another. A lot of people can learn from it." That's it. That's all I said. What's so controversial about that? Well, Joe Budden fans have been showing up in my comments lately thinking I'm sending subliminal messages to Joe when I post. You know what I'm saying? Even Joe shows up every now and then to agree with them. This ain't the first time. So, yo, I'll get into all that a little later. But first, let's talk about my reason for the caption. Loyalty is royalty. Over the years, I learned a lot of lessons about loyalty. Loyalty between friends, families, business associates. There have been times where I was too loyal to people or too loyal to my addiction, even to alcohol. You know what I mean? I've had relationships with women where I wasn't as loyal as I should have been. I own all my mistakes. So I've learned a lot. What have I learned about loyalty? I've learned you don't let opportunities control your loyalty. I've learned loyalty should be a two-way street. I've learned that in this industry, loyalty is rare. I'm talking IG model with natural ass rare. Type beat. It's rare. Most people are in it for themselves. They'll be your best friend if it suits them. You know what I'm saying? If it benefits them in any way to be your best friend, they'll do it for the time being. But when that time is up, they're gone. Peace. They don't know you no more. Feel me? How do I know? I've experienced it. Years ago when I first got in the rap game, I was a kid, a snot nose, a youngin'. But I watched people's actions close and studied their moves. And learn quick that people in this game will jump ship, cut your throat, step on the next man just to level up without a second thought. Yeah, baby. Welcome to the jungle, baby. I've seen this type of behavior for many and many, 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 many years, man. From many, many different people. So when I see loyalty in this industry, I take notice. I lean up in my chair like I did while I was watching the interaction between M and 50. It's been something like what, like 15 years since Get Rich? I could be wrong. I know it's been a long time, and these two guys are still thick as thieves. I love to see that. I've lost all kinds of close friends over the years. You know what I'm saying? So I love that shit. 50 shared a story with me about his grandmother, y'all. I could tell that she meant the world to him. You know when somebody's telling a story, you could see the emotion, you could feel it? I could tell she meant everything to him. And then he said M was on his list of people who are very close to him as well. He talked about his loyalty to M. M talked about his friendship with 50. The energy was genuine. The achievements between both men are incredible. You know the stats. I don't got to run it down to you. It was dope to hear 50 tell a story about his first time seeing Marshall's multi-platinum plaque, the one with all the different flags on it from all the different countries he sold millions of records in. And 50 tells the guy in the office, "I want that. I want a plaque like that." And then he says, "Yo, but I knew to get one, I'd have to go to all those places and go door to door, basically like an Avon lady to sell my product." That's that hustler's mentality. That's that hard work. M sitting back in his chair while 50's telling the story. He leans up and remembers 50 reading a sound scan. Oh, man. It was funny. He said he remembered 50 reading a sound scan report to see what his first week numbers were. But M had never seen anybody do that, and he even never seen it. So he walked over to him and said, "What you doing, dog?" He said he never once thought to look at a sound scan. And here his brand new artist is reading it and keeping up with all the numbers. I told 50, "It's probably your fault that everybody looks at first week sales now. Because you opened the door to that, dog, publicly talking about numbers early in the game." You know what I mean? He would talk numbers and first week sales early. People wasn't even on that. So I told 50, it's your fault, man. You started that. You open that door and that door ain't shut yet. People still worried about first week sales. You know what I'm saying? It's just real. But Fifth said that his first album sold so many copies in the first week that he thought it wasn't real. He thought somebody was playing a practical joke on him. Like someone was going to jump out of nowhere and say, "Psych, you ain't sold all them records." Imagine that. Imagine that. That would make a dope TV show though, wouldn't it? Rapper puts out an album, all the sound scan and the RIAA reports and the streaming reports from Spotify all over the place say it done very well. He's celebrating, popping champagne, and somebody walk in and say, "Nah, dog, you really flopped. This was just all a joke." Ah, that shit'll be fucked up. Meanwhile, Eminem selling so many records that he never even looked at a sound scan. Damn. Oh man, gotta love it. We talked about Cardi B's success, you know, and her hustle. We talked about the current climate of rap, but we talked more about yesteryear. How the gatekeepers back then would make it harder for an average artist to break through, so you had to be above average to get your foot in the door. How you had to have an original style that didn't sound like everyone else's, because if you did, you'd be a biter, or you would be looked at like a lame. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all can hear that ghetto bird flying over me right now. And I ain't even in the fucking ghetto. I'm in the suburbs. They keep flying over me, man. Come on, y'all. Leave me alone. I ain't trying to do nothing. I'm walking a straight line, baby. Where was I at anyway? We was talking about the sound scare shit. But yeah, it's a trip that back in the day, you had to be like, more original. You know what I'm saying? You had to be more original. Like, I don't hear these cats beefing with each other over using the same sound. Same drums, same auto-tune. You know what I'm saying? Same cadence. Like, you'll listen to a song and you don't know who's who. You feel me? And nobody's arguing over it. They just pieced up, getting money, I guess. And I can't be mad at that. Like, I never heard Yachty coming at the boy Post Malone for sounding like him on that record Psycho, and I don't remember Future taking shots at Designer. So yo, 808s and auto-tune, no problem. Everybody use the same cadence, no problem. Talking about the same shit on every record, no problem. You know, back in yesteryear, as I've been saying, J-Lines would come flying out. "You're jacking our slang. I seen the same thing happen to Kane. Three cuts in your eyebrows trying to wild out." I used to love that record. It's no problem, but at least it's peaceful, you know? But yeah, we spoke about a lot of stuff. We spoke about the future. We spoke about new projects. I'll let them, you know what I mean, inform y'all on all those types of things. Then M went to the corner of the trailer and he pushed play. And all of a sudden, I get money. You know what I'm saying? The 50 shit came on. I get it. We run New York. You know, all that shit. And that motherfucker was knocking, right? Everybody start wilding out, getting, you know, having fun in the trailer and shit, listening to that shit. And next thing you know, he threw on that in the club. You know what I'm saying? And the motherfucking walls start shaking inside the goddamn trailer. And everybody was like singing the most memorable parts of the song out loud, you know. And suddenly M just stopped the whole shit. And he looked at 50. And he said, "You about to steal the show from me, dog." Good times. Good times. I left the trailer, you know what I'm saying? Walk outside, smoke a cigar, talk to Paul some more. Told him about all the new projects I got coming up, the very special one that I got coming up, you know what I'm saying, in the summer. And then all of a sudden, M come out the trailer, and we form a single file line and march to the stage. You know, I don't know, whoever was there, if you was there, you kind of remember, they had like a movie clip where M was like a giant on the Jumbotron screens, you know what I'm saying, knocking over buildings and stepping on cars and shit. And then he really walks out the door into the stage and the crowd goes berserk. Straight frenzy. Him and Mr. Porter went hammer. Song after song. Hit after hit. Hands in the air. Lighters in the air. Cell phones in the air. Next thing you know, 50 came out. Surprised the shit out the audience. You know what I mean? Straight pandemonium. He ran through a few solo joints. But then they did Patiently Waiting and Crack a Bottle. And once again, I watched their interactions, but this time live on stage. Shit was clockwork. I thought about 50's statement to me about loyalty and his friendship with M as they lit the Coachella stage on fire. Both men come from humble beginnings, so this has to be like a dream that keeps coming true for them. I admire that shit. And during my admiration, Dr. Dre walks out. Just when you thought the crowd couldn't get any louder, they lose their shit. Whole place erupts. Here we are again. Loyalty. M's loyalty to Dre and vice versa has created a rare relationship in a fuckboy industry. Some may say it's the money they earn that keeps them together, but we've seen people make tons of money together and still end up beefing. Dre left Death Row Records and walked away from $100 million company. It's not all about money. Ask Dame Dash, trust me. So back to the Joe Budden thing. I've been on 3 major labels. I've seen unlimited label drama. I've seen unlimited ass kissers. I've seen unlimited turncoats. I've been on 3 major labels, dog, over the course of many years. You know what I'm saying? I've created companies with partners, landed 7-figure deals, and then watched money change each and every one of them. I've been in the streets getting money with childhood friends that grew up from the fucking sandbox with me and turned on me for a bag. You hear me? Real shit. Real shit. You know what I mean? That's why it's so crazy to me. It's crazy. I've had people like affiliated with my movement for over a decade recently do some whole shit that they think I'm unaware of. So when my caption reads, "I respect what these guys built through loyalty with one another, and a lot of people can learn from it," I mean that shit. A lot of people can learn from that shit. But I forget that some of y'all are still thinking about Slaughterhouse when I post, even though I'm not. I gotta give y'all something else to think about. But even if anybody from Slaughterhouse would post with that same caption, I would never assume it's for me. Why would I? I'm solid. I'm 100, period. Been that way. 3 Slaughterhouse tattoos. I don't just get ink for meaningless reasons. Flights to New York and Detroit trying to preserve the brand. I'm solid. Another reason I wouldn't think twice about a caption like that is because the group hasn't been a group in years. Each member has their own lives, man. Everything we post ain't about no slaughterhouse. Y'all gotta remember that. Everything we post does not have to involve anything close to slaughterhouse. So a Joe Budden fan, DM me, ask me if the caption has something to do with Joe's criticism of M's revival album. No. I've been asked that same question by different blogs and I told them all the same shit. I didn't agree with Joe's approach. One, I feel we have to draw a line between what we call trash and what just isn't for us. I feel M is too technically sound and too great of a rapper to create pure trash ever. He might make songs I dislike personally, but I won't throw them into the pile of what I consider trash rap. See what I'm saying? Now that's just me. And two, there's a way you publicly speak about someone who's currently signed you. You know, you're currently signed to the man. There's a way that I think that you should publicly speak about someone like that. And somebody who's done things to help your career, help your life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying lie about your feelings whatsoever. But low-key shitting on Paul while he's transitioning to his new position at Def Jam and using a very successful platform. You know, every platform Joe gets on is a very successful one. You know what I mean? To shit on an album from him, you know, it's a bit much. I mean, why not simply say, I didn't enjoy Revival. The first single was definitely not for me. That's not the Eminem records I want. But it seemed like there was something else behind the words. It didn't seem to me or feel to me like it was just pure critique. I felt like there was something else that motivated some of the words, and I feel like that energy transferred to other people. You know what I'm saying? But to keep it a buck, if you approach it how I suggest, it probably won't make headlines. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is out here. But yo, in all fairness, recently Joe said something that made me shift the way I thought. He said M is not his friend. And he said the label has done nothing for him, in his opinion. So I could see why he didn't hold back. I never knew he felt that way. Never. I certainly don't think Shady sees it that way. But nah, my caption isn't about his criticism of Revival. None of my posts are. My life is deeper than rap. When I post something along those lines, just know it's about something way realer. I got shit going on in my life that have nothing to do with Slaughterhouse. But all the comments I saw on my IG made me think of something Malcolm X said. If you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one who barks got hit. Crook's Corner. Peace.